Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mike Harvey in this morning, the executive director of the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Exciting things going on at the academy. A firearms training center is planning. We're going to get into all of that as we go along this morning. Mike, it's good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thank you so much for having me again. It's been way too long.
It has been way too long. We were talking about it. I think we go back to COVID times
since
that you came in. So it has been way too long and lots to catch up on. For people who don't know, Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy, a lot goes on over on, Lee Hill Drive?
Lee Hill Drive.
And you do a lot of training there, and this area is fortunate to have you.
Sure, absolutely. We've been around for a long time. We've been around since 1978, so I guess almost 46 years now. And we are responsible for the training of most all of the law enforcement agencies that are hearing this morning. So we have 42 agencies across central eastern Virginia, from the Bay all the way up to Fauquier, and down through Culpeper, Orange, all the way down to Goochland is our furthest south. And we're responsible for making sure that they get their basic training needs met, so they can be certified law enforcement officers, certified jail officers, court security officers, and communication officers. So it's over 2,300 sworn folks who come to us for their training needs.
It's a busy place, and not only the book kind of training. You've got a training area there for driving, and it's turned into quite the complex.
It really has, you know, especially when you look back to where we started in 1978 with our founding director, Ed Evers. He was in a single office room in the old Dominion Bank building on Princess Anne Street. And today we have two academic buildings. We have our driving track. We have a simulator area, and now we have a firearms training center that is being built right around the corner. So we're going to have everything in one spot to train all of our law enforcement officers.
We're going to get to that firearms training center in just a second, because that is exciting. You have over the years let me in on the simulators.
Yes.
And to see some of that. Boy, to see the technology, especially now. I thought a few years ago the technology was pretty good. You can develop scenarios and really train officers.
Right. I mean, I've been at the academy a little bit over 11 years now, a total of 26 years in law enforcement. But over just the last 11 years, when I came in, we had a use of force judgment simulator. And it was basically a very high-tech, flat-screen video game. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at it like the old Choose Your Adventure books, where you get to a certain point and you could choose A or B, and then you could go to that page. And that's what we had. And it was good. But if the officer really went off script and you wanted to bring them back in and you didn't want to end the scenario, there was no way to do that because everything was pre-programmed. Last year, in December, we were able to purchase the most advanced simulation training, which is virtual reality. So from a bystander's perspective, you just see the officer wearing a backpack, yep, a set of goggles, and headphones. You see nothing else. But the officer is completely immersed in the scenario. No matter where they look, they are in the scenario. So if we set up a traffic stop, it's a traffic stop just like it would be in real life. I can put one person in a car, I can put six people in a car, I can have bystanders on the street. And the great thing about this new technology is, unlike the old one where everything is pre-programmed, I act as the avatar. So when they walk up to the car and they start to interact with the driver, they're actually interacting with me or the other trainer. So no matter what they say, we can actually have a conversation and a dialogue. And then I can switch from one avatar to another. So if they're, you know, not paying attention to their surroundings, I can switch to a bystander walking down the street and try to get their attention that way. So it really does amp up the level of training that the officers can get.
And I guess afterwards, then you and others can go through the, and sit down with a with the person, and you're able to talk about what happened and what they did well and what they need to work on.
Right. Afterwards, we can do a after-action review. There's a we have capabilities to record that session and then review it so the officer can see exactly where he or she was, exactly what was going on, and maybe things that they missed that they should have seen.
It was fascinating to watch. And in the day I was there, you had some high ranking law enforcement from all around the region getting to see it, and they did it, and you just to see them struggling with the fact that you were able to change scenarios and really put them to the test.
Oh, absolutely! You know, it was so much fun that day because that was, you know, really the ribbon cutting ceremony, if you will, on this new simulator. And it was when we had our annual board meeting. So I invited all of our chiefs and sheriffs and our command staff members. And yeah, we did have several that went through and were really amazed with this product. And the other thing that I love about this is the company probably at least once every month, every couple of months, they will do updates based off of customer feedback. So if there's something we see in there that we don't quite like or something we want to add, they're very responsive. And so it keeps it current.
I remember the day I was there, too. There was somebody from Congresswoman Spanberger's office. And just for them to be able to see the money that they're sending into this area for that was very helpful.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's how we got the simulator. Congresswoman Spanberger does what she calls the community project funding, and she does that throughout the entire 7th District for all of the jurisdictions that she serves, plus a couple of regional funding projects. And we were lucky enough to get some of that money through one of her regional funding projects, and that's how the simulator came to be at the academy.
These simulators, when you do them, I've done them a few times, and it shows you just the level of stress and just what can happen.
Right.
For just routine things. It opened my eyes the first time when we did, and you talked about, you know, the video game version of just all of a sudden whether you're walking up to a car or going into a building, you realize the split second decisions that officers have to make.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we put these officers in these situations and, you know, we really want them to work on their communication skills. We want them to be able to speak to people, to be respectful, and to try to de-escalate situations before they go to any level of force. But we also always have to train that the de-escalation is not a substitute for sound officer safety, sound officer tactics. And so we do it in a both and instead of an either or, which a lot of people out there think it has to be one or the other. You either de-escalate and, you know, you're considered soft, or you use your tactics and you're considered this hard officer. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can have both, and they can both exist in the same person and in the same scenario. And that's what we try to get through to the officers. We can de-escalate. We can speak to people with respect and dignity like they deserve. And we can be ready to respond should the need arise.
You went through all the academy and everything years ago. I would guess that the training has really changed the types of things you're able to do, like you described with the virtual reality.
Oh, it really has. I went through the academy in 1997 in Salem, Virginia, at the Cardinal Regional, which is another academy similar to ours. And when I went through, it was 12 weeks of training. And We got some, you know, hands-on scenario-based training, you know, but it was all with role players. And so there's only so much you can do in those situations to really amp things up. And, you know, today our training is between 20 and 21 weeks. And, you know, we try to include more of that simulation training. We try to include more what they're going to experience when they get out onto the road.
Just walking through the academy with you different times, it's amazing to me the when people go through the academy, all that they go through, whether it's those type of situations, learning the law, learning the codes, different codes of the law. It's a really intense time when they go, and when you see them at graduation. There's such relief and happiness.
Oh, yeah.
With them
Absolutely.
And their families.
Right. You know, we set the academy up as a building block. You know, they start with the very foundational levels of policing, which is how to be a professional officer, the history of law enforcement, how we fit into the structure of government in the United States. And then we cover, you know, the Constitution and our job in upholding our Constitution and ensuring that all of our citizens have the rights that are laid out. Then we get into Virginia law. And we go over the specific laws. We talk about the elements of the crime, how to determine if someone has committed a crime. We go over traffic law. We go over traffic stops. We go over traffic crashes. And then they learn to drive. They learn to shoot. They learn defensive tactics, which is unarmed self-defense. You know, they learn how to use all of those tools. And then they come into a big block of instruction, which is called Patrol Techniques and Officer Survival. And that is 3 weeks of really learning many of the calls that they're going to routinely experience when they get out on the road. And then that culminates with a week of practical testing where basically they run from one call to another call. And so they're getting that real world experience in a training environment.
Hmm. Mike Harvey here this morning. Now, you mentioned shooting, and we're going to talk about the training, the firearms training center that is planned, and we will do that when we come back. Just having you here talk about this just reminds me that we will have to do another show sometime soon and talk about a lot of these areas, because you do really train officers well in this area, and thank you for what you all do at the academy.
Well, thank you for having me here, Ted.
Mike Harvey here. More on coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Mike Harvey in this morning. He is the executive director with the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy over on Lee Hill Drive. It's always interesting because you're right next to the food bank, and I'll be over there doing something with the food bank, and it's always busy over there. You've either got cars, or there's always some kind of training. You're in the process, and I guess have started. We'll be raising money for an academy firearms training center, and talk about that because this has been a long time coming.
Oh, it really has. You know, like I said earlier, when the academy started in 1978, we had no facilities. We had to beg, borrow, and steal classrooms, training space, firearms ranges, places to drive. And the academy buildings were started in 1990. An addition was made in 1999. And then the driving track was completed in 2006. And so we had almost everything we needed on site. And for the past almost 20 years, we've been very fortunate in that we were able to partner with the Department of Corrections in one of their work camps in Stafford to use a firearms range there. Unfortunately, that work camp has been shut down. It was one of the cuts that Department of Corrections made, and so we have lost our ability to use that range. And it was just perfect timing that the warehouse beside us was being retrofitted into three industrial condos. I spoke with the developers, Tom Wack, and his group over there. And we realized we couldn't rehab the actual building for our use, but we were able to carve off 2 acres of land from that industrial complex. And we're actually going to be building a 9,000 square foot building on that property that's going to have 15 lanes for 15 shooters at a time. It will have a classroom. It'll have our office space for staff. And then a storage area, and of course a cleaning room. So we're really, really excited that we are able to get this up and running. But of course, it's a very big expense for the academy as well. And I was lucky that our board, which is all 42 of our chiefs and sheriffs, agreed to enter into this debt service last year. But one of my biggest priorities outside of training is try to be a responsible steward of the money that comes into the academy, which is primarily funded by our localities that we serve.
So, as we talked just a few minutes ago, just about, you know, the technology you're able to use, I'm sure with this training center that you'll be able to do even more than you ever have been able to do, just as far as monitoring and just some of the things that are going to be part of this center as you've described.
Sure, absolutely, and it's going to give us a higher level of training, and you know, a lot of people they hear firearms training and they get a little squirrely. They don't like it. They, you know, we don't want our cops to shoot. And nobody wants a law enforcement officer to have to discharge their weapon in a line of duty. None of us want that. None of the officers want that. But unfortunately, that is a reality of our society that may have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I want our officers to be as prepared as possible should that day ever arise. And what the research shows is the more training the officers get, the more confident the officers become in the tools that they have, the less likely they are to actually use them. Because if they know I can use my mouth, I can talk to this person, I can de-escalate even if the person they're talking to is extremely agitated, is yelling and screaming, if they are confident that if their best efforts to use their mouth to de-escalate fail, they can revert back to the tools that they have on their belt because they know that they know how to use them, they're going to be more likely to talk.
Yeah.
And so one of the big things that this firearms training center is going to do is going to allow us to enhance that training. You know, right now, when you are shooting outside, you're at the mercy of the weather. You know, we want to train our officers in night shooting. Well, all of our ranges are surrounded by residential areas, so you want to be cognizant of people trying to rest, trying to go to sleep. So you don't want people shooting at midnight when people are trying to sleep so they can get up and work the next morning. The great thing about our training center, everything is inside. It's all climate controlled.
Yeah.
And if it needs to be dark, if it needs to be dusk, we can turn down the lights. And so we're going to be able to give those officers a much higher level of training with the most dangerous tool that they carry.
What a great facility it will be.
Yes.
Just for that, just because you can able to do that. Or if a person comes to you and says, hey, I think I need more training in, like you said, maybe nighttime situations, you're able to do that.
Absolutely. You know, and one of the other great things that we'll be able to use this for, like we talked about our simulator earlier.
Yeah.
Our simulator can expand to basically accommodate any space that it's in. And so right now it's in a fairly small classroom. It's probably maybe 200 square feet in total. When the new range opens, we can take it in and set it up portably, and then the actual range space, which is right around 6,000 square feet, we can use that entire space as our scenario room.
Wow. Yes. The things you'll be able to do, that's got to excite you.
It really does, yes.
To be able to do those kinds of things and have that capability.
Right.
Like you said, it's all under one roof.
There. All under one roof. And just around the corner from our campus now. So we'll be expanding to almost 23 acres, 3 buildings, driving track. I'm really excited about the future of the academy.
Ed Evers must look at this and just say to you, Mike, do you have any idea what it was like in the early years?
Oh yes, I haven't seen Ed in a while. He's getting on up there, and he's slowing down a little bit. But he will be there for our groundbreaking for the range on September 12th. So I'm looking forward to seeing him there, and of course recognizing his efforts to get us here.
What since you lost the site in Stafford, have you just had been? What have you been doing? Just kind of being able to find places as you can.
So we've been borrowing ranges. So the Spotsylvania Sheriff's Office, Stafford Sheriff's Office, Fredericksburg Police Department, they've all been very generous in the use of their range. But like I said earlier, there are a lot of restrictions on when you can shoot, how long you can shoot, those types of things. And then for our jail classes, they are going out to the Northern Neck Regional Jail, which is out in Warsaw, Richmond County.
That's a drive from here.
That is a drive. And we've got jail officers that are coming from Orange County, from Culpeper, from Fauquier. So now we have that added expense of those agencies having to put those recruits up into a hotel for a week and a half. So this is going to be really nice where everything is here centralized and we're able to train the recruits without trying to figure out where.
I'm guessing that some of these other regional criminal justice academies around the state, do they have anything like this, or are you going to be stepping out and really having something state of the art that a lot don't have?
So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
There are some of the academies that have everything that we have. I know that there's one academy that has their own indoor range, but they bought a commercial range, which has limitations. And the nice thing about this is we're building it to our specifications.
Yeah.
We're not building it for target shooters. We're building it for law enforcement officers, where we don't want them standing still and shooting at a target. We want them to be able to move and be accurate at shooting at that target. And so that's one of the really nice things about being able to build this from the ground up, because we get to build it the way that we think is going to best support our training mission.
When we come back, we're going to talk about ways the community can get involved. There are things that we can all get involved and be part of the good training going on with the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Mike Harvey is here this morning talking about it. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy are our focus this morning. Mike Harvey, the executive director here, and we're talking about the Academy Firearms Training Center. An exciting concept, as you've described it, but Mike, it's going to cost money.
It is going to cost money.
And this is where the community and businesses and individuals can really get involved with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and, the biggest question I get asked is, well, you're a police academy. Shouldn't you be funded by the government? And the answer is yes. But that's also one of the biggest struggles that I have had as a academy director over my past 11 years here. And I've gotten fairly active on the state level trying to lobby the governor's office and the General Assembly for more money. And so our academy system in Virginia was created in 1966. because the United States Congress saw a need to standardize training across the United States. And so to incentivize the states, they came out with a Federal Law Enforcement Assistance Administration training grants. And so Virginia jumped on this, and they created the regional training system across Virginia. And our job is to train all of the small and medium-sized agencies that cannot run their own academies.
Yeah.
So currently there are 11 regionals, just like me, across the state who support all of those, which comes up to almost 18,500 officers are being trained by regional academies. And then, of course, you have our bigger areas, you know, the Fairfax, Richmond, Chesterfield. They have their own academies because they have the resources and they have the number of recruits coming through to justify that. When these grants started in the 60s and even when Rappahannock came online in 78, we were funded almost exclusively by the state. About 90% was funded by the state. Well, those federal grants ended in 1982. And the state, starting in 1980, again in 1999 and 2012, they did studies saying, hey, the state really needs to put more money back into this regional training system because it is not solvent.
Sure.
We have a lot of funding issues. Of course, most of those things have not been adopted by the General Assembly or the governor's office. And so we have to lobby and we have to legislate. For example, last year, total state funding to the regional system was $2.3 million. Well, that's spread across 11 regional academies serving over 18,000 officers, which means last year the state spent less than $130 per officer for an entire year of training. That's nothing.
That was going to say that you're really on your own.
Correct. Especially when you look at the total administrative funding that the state uses for their law enforcement programs is over $483 million. And we get just over $2.3. We have tried in 2023, we had budget amendments on both sides of the General Assembly. The Senate approved 500, the House approved a million. So we thought, hey, we're good. We're going to get a little bit of extra funding. And of course, 2023's budget went into conference and mm-hmm. it stayed in conference for a while. But we weren't worried because it was really a drop in the bucket. Well, it comes out of conference and the budget gets published and our money's gone.
Wow.
This year, the Department of Criminal Justice Services, which is our regulatory body, they put in their request to the governor's office an additional $1 million in funding for the regional system. When the governor's proposed budget came out, it was gone again. So we're not quite sure what is happening with that money. And why we can't get more state funding. But, you know, I said when this academy system started, we were funded at 90%. Today, about 18% of my budget is funded by the state. The rest of it, the other 82%, is funded by our localities. Now, I will say our localities have been very supportive.
I was going to say, this shines a spotlight on the localities.
Yes.
That they're the ones having to pick all of this
right.
up.
Right. They have been very supportive. If I've come forward and said, hey, we've got an issue, we need to do this. Most of my budget obviously goes to pay my salaries. And I have a very small staff. I depend on my agencies as trainers. Mm. So they come in as adjunct faculty. I don't pay them. Their agencies pay them, and they are my trainers. So I have a small staff. And that's where the majority of my money goes, just like most organizations, most of their funding goes to pay their staff. And so the localities have been good, but I can't keep going back to localities and saying, I need more, I need more, I need more. And so that's where I really want to step up and say, help us,
yeah.
Help us make law enforcement training for our region the best across the state. And in order to do that, we're trying to include the community more in what we are doing. So we've got a couple of events coming up that the community is welcome to attend. On September 12th, we have the groundbreaking for our firearms training center. And then on September 26th, we are hosting a big awareness event at the Academy. It's a luncheon. It's an hour and a half, 11:30 to 1. You come in, we'll feed you, and we'll talk about the Academy. And we have one of our probably most unique deputies in the region coming in as our keynote, and that's Jim Clock, who is a 20-year deputy. He is an auxiliary deputy now with Stafford County, but he is also an actor and a producer, and he's been in movies such as The Green Book, The Underground Railroad, The Whole Truth. So he's going to come in and talk about some of the training that he does. So it's going to be really, really interesting. And if people want to attend these events, if they're interested, they can find links on our Academy website, which is rrcja.org, or you can find us on Facebook at Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. And all of those events are posted right there. There is an RSVP button. For the groundbreaking, you can RSVP or you can just show up. For the August 26th event, I do ask that if anybody is interested, please RSVP. And if they want more information, then by all means, reach out to me. My contact information is on our website, so they can reach out at any point, and I am happy to speak with anyone.
The groundbreaking on the 12th, that's at 11 o'clock? Is it 11 to 12? 10 to 11.
10 to 11.
10 to 11.
10 to 11,
10
yes.
to 11 on the 12th. And both of these are great opportunities, as we've talked, because a lot of times the Academy is, you don't just walk up and walk into the Academy. These are chances, though, to actually see a little bit and talk to you and others about it.
Absolutely. You know, we are a secured facility because we're training law enforcement officers, so yeah. Some of that information is sensitive. But I am also very transparent. If a community member wants to come and take a tour of the Academy, if a community member wants to sit and audit a class, almost all of our classes are open for a citizen to come and sit in and take a look and see what we're actually training our officers. And I have had a few community members come in just to see exactly what the training looks like and what it's about.
Boy, as you described, and I knew that the state wasn't funding you nearly enough, but I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea it was to that level, and to what localities are having to step up to do all of this. That
right.
it's embarrassing in a way, just what the state is doing.
It really is, and the state is funding a lot of programs. You know, we're seeing a lot more money being thrown at human trafficking. We're seeing a lot of money being thrown at opioid abatement, which it should be. But we also need the money to train the officers in
to fight
how to combat
things.
Human trafficking, how to combat the opioid epidemic, how to combat the violence that we're seeing. And that starts at the academies.
And when you talk about having to have the localities being responsible in sending the people in to be trainers, that's taking them away from their locality.
Right.
And that's time spent away from Fredericksburg, Stafford, Spotsylvania, Orange, and name them. All of the localities.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
All of my localities are short. We're seeing a lot of retirements. We're seeing a lot of folks leaving the profession, and so they're short officers. They're scaling back on a lot of the extra stuff that they have traditionally done, community events, those types of things, just to cover their necessary duties of protecting their communities. But that also means they have to scale back on their instructors. And so they're short on officers. They scale back on their instructors, which means I can't hold a class, I can't train people, so they can't get new officers. And so it's just it's circular. And, you know, we have our strategic planning committee coming in the next month, and we're trying to look at those things and trying to figure out what is the best solution moving forward.
Yeah. Well, this is a great opportunity for businesses,
yes,
for individuals. We all talk about, you know, we can, and a lot of us, you can be proud of in the localities around here. You can be proud of the police force that we have, in the training that you described, and the equipment, and everything they're getting. This is a chance to really solidify that saying, I'm, you know, I support this, and, you know, this facility will ultimately keep this area safer.
Correct. And, you know, it's not just the businesses being altruistic and reaching out and saying, I support our law enforcement training. We're also going to support them if they support us. You know, we have opportunities from just getting your name up on a founder's wall all the way up to naming a classroom or a lane, a shooting lane, after your business or in remembrance of someone. So there are a lot of opportunities there. We're going to open things up for businesses that really want to support the academy and, you know, get their name out to come in and host luncheons with the recruits. You know, we've got a lot of young folks coming through the academy, so they're looking at starting families, of purchasing their first house, and so there's a lot of opportunity there for these businesses that support those types of things to come in and work with the academy and get the word out about how they can support these first responders trying to move into our communities.
Well, in a way, this does give you the opportunity to tell the story and to educate the community about the work of the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. And end of the day, when you get this center and so many more people and businesses behind you, there'll be a greater understanding and hopefully even a stronger academy.
Right. Yeah, and that's the biggest thing is I want people to be aware of what we do. I want people to be involved with our mission, whether it's financially or just spreading the word about who we are and how we are training the next generation of law enforcement that's going to be protecting our communities.
Quick break. We'll come back and talk again about how you can get involved and wrap this up with Mike Harvey with the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Again, to see some of the things that are taking place and get involved with that, rrcja.org, the website, or go to Facebook, go to Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. You'll see all the interesting things that they do there and how you can get involved. And we'll talk about it with Mike when we conclude this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Mike Harvey in this morning, Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy, the executive director there. And again, a couple of events. We talk about this the Academy Firearms Training Center. This is really an exciting moment, I guess, for the Academy, just because it's right there.
Yeah.
And there's so much you can do with it.
Oh gosh, I am so excited that we're moving forward with the Firearms Training Center, and we will finally have everything incorporated into one campus. And, you know, I really want the community to come down and see what we're about, see how we're actually training their officers, how we're training that next generation to go back into the communities and make sure we're all safe. And so we've got our September 12th groundbreaking, 10 to 11, and that's going to be right beside the academy, which is at 3630 Lee Hill Drive in Fredericksburg. And they can find more information on that on our Facebook page and on our website at rrcja.org. And then I really encourage anyone who is interested in the Academy and to see what we're really about. On September 26th, from 11:30 to 1, we are having an awareness luncheon where we're really going to dig into what the Academy is about, where we've come from, where we're going, and how the community can engage and help us train that next generation of law enforcement.
Whenever you see law enforcement cars, especially from some of the farther localities, they probably are here because they're training over at the Criminal Justice Academy, and a lot of good work goes in over there, and this is really the next step, as you described it, to be able to do so much with this firearms training center. It's just going to help overall training.
It really will. And having everything in one spot is really going to enhance the training and I think provide a product that's going to be best for our officers and for the communities that they serve.
I have seen you give a number of graduations, whether it's for officers or even just the basic jail graduations, and when you talk to the officers, and you always talk to them about their families,
yes,
and the importance of families, and this is another one of those things where you'll be able to talk about this protects communities and keeps families together.
Correct. I mean, law enforcement cannot be done by itself. Mm-hmm. It takes not only the team of law enforcement officers, but the family that's behind that team and the community as a whole. We are only as effective as the group that is around us and supporting us.
It's a great, over the years, you take a look, I guess, at milestones for the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. And, you know, we're, you know, in office downtown, in an office, you know, This is one of those big moments, and this is really a moment where we can all get involved. To where, frankly, the state has let you down,
right?
And this is where the community can step in. Localities have certainly stepped in over the years to get you to where you're at, and this is where we can all step in. And like you say, that there are things if you want your name associated with things, you can do that kind of thing, and get involved, whether it's the groundbreaking or also the awareness event, the luncheon. Good stuff coming up.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ted. I'm really excited about everything we've got coming up over the next few months.
When you showed me the virtual reality training, that was just, and you told me at that point that you were at, this was the early phases of this training center.
Yes.
And it's coming up.
It is. I'm very excited.
rrcja.org, again, the website for more information. And again, RSVP that event, the awareness event, that'll give you really a good background.
Yes.
On what you're doing. And again, the groundbreaking taking place 10 to 11 on September the 12th, right there where where it's going to, how long will it take to build the facility once you get everything in line?
So once we have all of the permits in hand, our contractor is estimating a 9-month build out. So we are hoping by June or July of 25, we will have our keys and we will be moving forward.
Can't wait. We'll do a show from there.
Sounds great, Todd. I appreciate it.
Mike Harvey, thank you so much, Mike. We'll talk much more about this and continue to educate the community about the great work of the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.